What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons. We also do our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season, and this is our third season now as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. So we have a really fun-filled show for you guys today. We are going to start with the news that head coach Anthony Lynn has made some more questionable comments that we're going to have to get into. And then in this second segment, we are going to be getting to what the Chargers do now from here on out in the offseason as far as do they bring back Hunter Henry on a franchise tag, and also what positions do they try to address in free agency specifically. And then to wrap up the show, one of the biggest needs for the Chargers is offensive tackle. So we're going to look at some of the offensive tackles that are out there on the market right now and talk about whether they make sense for the Chargers to try to bring them in. But let's go ahead and get started. Anthony Lynn made waves last season when he said that free safety Rayshon Jenkins was elite, and while talking with ESPN's Adam Schefter, he doubled down on it. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn was on the Adam Schefter podcast, and one of the surprising things that he had to say was that he thinks that Rayshon Jenkins is going to have a breakout season in 2020. So this is news because, I mean, one of the most infamous things from Anthony Lynn last year was him saying that Rayshon Jenkins was elite. And even though he led the team with three interceptions last year, I think there was many more moments where you found yourself shaking your fist at Rayshon Jenkins on TV than commending him. So obviously, we preface this by saying this was Rayshon Jenkins' first season taking over as the Chargers starting free safety. He was drafted as a strong safety, and that's always going to come with some learning curve. But David, it was really surprising to see Anthony Lynn going even further on this take than he already did last season.
Yeah, I know it really is interesting because, I mean, I think if you've watched Rayshon Jenkins play, then, you know, there's some flashes of brilliance, but there's also a lot of different situations where you're kind of just scratching your head a little bit. And hearing this Bolts from the Blue article about Anthony Lynn's comments about Rayshon Jenkins, they provide some really good stats from Pro Football Focus. So according to Pro Football Focus, of all players that have played at least 80% of their team snaps in 2019, Jenkins was 30th among 37 safeties with a 63.1 overall grade. His 52.8 tackling grade was 30th, his 50.4 run defense grade was 36th, and his coverage grade was 67.5, which was good for 23rd. So given those stats, I mean, it's kind of hard to believe or understand why Anthony Lynn is saying that Rayshon Jenkins can be a top five free safety in the NFL. At this point in his career, those stats just don't tend to paint that picture.
They don't. And I think one of the things that stood out last year specifically about Rayshon Jenkins were just the amount of games that seemed to be altered by a giant play going wrong in his direction. So you had the Courtland Sutton play against the Broncos where he breaks his tackle one-on-one and it ends up being a 50-plus yard touchdown. You have the week one against the Colts where Marlon Mack breaks off a giant run. You also have another game against the Broncos where there's a giant run at his expense that basically sealed the game. It was Phillip Lindsay sealing the game on a third and short, and Rayshon Jenkins misses the tackle in the open field. He didn't end up missing a lot of tackles, but the ones that he did miss always usually came with very bad implications. And to be the last line of defense for this team, you have to come through with those tackles. But this has further implications, David, because the Chargers selected Nazir Adderley 60th overall, and he was taken there to be the starting free safety for this team. But now you're hearing how high this coaching staff and front office is on Rayshon Jenkins. So it's hard to think that that's not going to make it even harder for the former second round pick who had to miss basically his entire rookie season due to injuries to get on the field.
And Anthony Lynn did talk about that in his press conference at the Combine. He basically said that for Nazir Adderley to get on the football field next year, he's going to have to try to make it at multiple different positions. They said he can play some nickel corner. He can come in sub packages. You know, he's going to have to carve out his role in those situations. I think in the preseason when he was able to play, you know, he showed his instincts. He showed his his natural playmaking ability when he got his hand on three footballs and was able to intercept one of them. In that just small flash of brilliance, he got really excited about the prospects of pairing him with Derwin James as a strong safety. Unfortunately, you know, Nasir Adeleye was hurt and was never really able to continue that in the regular season. But reminder, guys, I mean, in college, this guy's a playmaker. 265 total tackles, 11 interceptions, 24 passes defensed, and 4 forced fumbles. And oh, by the way, he also brings value as a returner as well.
And you have to hope for a player with his talent that he's able to show what he can do and make his way back into the starting lineup for this team. Because if not, I mean, that's kind of a failed draft pick because we've seen the potential that he has. I mean, hopefully, number one, he can stay healthy. But I think this is just more questionable comments from Anthony Lynn and the questions of whether Anthony Lynn can actually tell when his players on the field are playing well has still not been resolved. So I think this is a good booster for a player like Rayshon Jenkins, and the team has to hope that he can take his game to another level next season if he really wants to become an elite safety in this league. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to talk about the offseason plan and franchise tagging Hunter Henry before wrapping the show up by talking about some free agent offensive tackles that can make sense for the Chargers coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into the next segment of the show. And today we are talking about the Chargers' updated free agency plan and offseason plan now that we've seen the deals last week with Austin Eckler and Trey Turner. So just to get the brass tacks out there, free agency is starting March 18th at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So it's coming up quicker than you think. And I think one of the first things to talk about is where the Chargers go from here. We saw them bring back one of their own players in Austin Eckler. So now it's time to turn to the next biggest free agent, and that would be Hunter Henry. And the reason that's so important is because the deadline for the franchise tag is actually coming up on March 12th. So that's coming up this Thursday. So the Chargers are going to have to make a big decision with Hunter Henry as far as if they want to try to lock him down with the franchise tag and then work out an extension thereon after that. And I think that a long-term extension is something that I've been in the camp for. I know a lot of people are out there saying, just franchise tag him, make him prove it with another deal, make him prove that he can stay healthy. But for me, I'm on the train of sign him to a multi-year extension, what he brings to the table and that production as opposed to the tight end production throughout the rest of the league and also what the Chargers have behind him at tight end. I don't think they can take any chances, but David, the deadline for franchise tags is coming up. It's going to cost around $10 to $11 million in cap space to franchise tag Hunter Henry. If you are the Chargers, the deadline is coming up. Are you franchise tagging him if you don't have an extension done by then?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the answer is always to franchise tag Hunter Henry at this point. You want to keep him in the building, keep him under contract, at least buy yourself some time to be able to work out that long-term extension. I think if you look around the league and you see, you know, the other tight ends, there's very few other guys that have the same combination of youth, effectiveness as a pass catcher and a blocker, just a really well-rounded tight end that you have in the form of Hunter Henry right now. I think you do everything you can to keep him on the roster, if that means franchise tagging him so you can work out that deal to keep him in a Chargers uniform for 4 or 5+ seasons, then absolutely you do that, and you do it without even much thought.
Yeah, you can't let him get to the open market and let that bidding war begin because, like I said, there's not a lot of production at the position throughout the league. So he is going to be a hot commodity. He's probably the second biggest name out there as far as tight ends in this free agency class. The other one is Austin Hooper, and that deal might actually raise the price on Hunter Henry as well if you wait for that deal to get done. So for me, I've kind of said on Twitter before, like, it's either you think it's going to be a Keenan Allen situation or a Jason Verrett situation. And for me, I think that Hunter Henry has had some really bad injury luck, but they've been kind of freak things. I mean, torn ACLs, he gets a hairline fracture in his kneecap last season. I mean, those are just things you can't really prepare for, but I think you have to bet on the upside of Hunter Henry and make sure he does not end up on another team in 2020. So getting to the rest of what the Chargers are going to have to do in free agency, let's say they do franchise tag him. Before that, they have about $50 million in cap space after the Trey Turner and Austin Eckler deals. So if you take about $10 million away from that, now you're sitting with $40 million. And then you think about the fact that they're going to have to keep about $10 million just for their draft picks and things like that. And that's not even including money that they're going to have to keep on the books during the season to account for injuries and having to bring in more players and things of that nature. But as far as what the plan is here for free agency, David, there's a lot of positions that the Chargers need. And I think the biggest one that comes to mind is quarterback. So right now, Tyrod Taylor is the quarterback. We do not know who they're going to pick with the sixth overall pick, if that's going to be a quarterback or where they're going to go with that pick. But at the same time, there are some free agent options available. Obviously, the most notable one is Tom Brady. There's also Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, who's been linked to the Chargers a little bit already, and Teddy Bridgewater. So, David, if you see those names, or any of those names, considering the Chargers have a win-now roster, that a lot of those guys are coming off the books next season, Melvin Ingram, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, I mean, there's a lot of money that's going to have to be paid here, and they might not be able to keep this core around for a long time. So that being said, are you interested in the Chargers bringing in any of those quarterback free agents to potentially, you know, take over the spot for Tyrod Taylor, who's the starter right now?
No, not at all. I have no interest in signing any free agent quarterbacks. I think the buyer's beware thing really sticks in my mind and really kind of scares me off from signing any of those guys. Also, I just think that, you know, dedicating that amount of cap space when there are other holes to fill, and you have a competent quarterback in Tyrod Taylor that's, you know, slated to be your starter, a guy that has done a great job of protecting the football, a guy that's going to keep you in games, is going to be able to kind of execute the type of offense that Anthony Lynn wants to run. So I don't want any free agent quarterbacks. I just don't want to dedicate that much money to them when there are other holes to fill. That would not be my plan. If they are going to go quarterback and they have, you know, a firm belief in the guy they want to take and he's available at six, then I would be okay with them taking a quarterback there. But I am not interested in the Chargers signing a quarterback in free agency.
And the best fit out of all those guys would probably be Ryan Tannehill. Obviously, Jameis Winston comes with a bunch of upside, but there's no reason to think that he's going to, you know, just start miraculously not turning the ball over and have a lot better accuracy. But he did lead the league in passing yards last year, but he also had 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. Ryan Tannehill would probably be the best fit as far as a mobile quarterback that throws first but is mobile enough to run all of the plays you would want to run with a mobile quarterback. But there's some people saying that he could ask for $30 million a season. So I think when you're thinking about that, I mean, that's pretty much all they have left as far as how I just broke down the salary cap. That would take up basically all of your free agent dollars to bring in a quarterback for $30 million a season. And with Tom Brady, I still don't think it's going to happen, but obviously it makes sense with the Chargers trying to get more fans on the field. I'm not sure it makes as much sense for them. But let's get into some other positions that they're going to have to fill, because we're not going to be able to get into all of them. But one position that I would rather see them try to fill in free agency than in the draft is defensive tackle, because there's some really good defensive tackles on the market. And I'm not even just talking about the Chris Jones of the world, because I think he'll probably end up getting franchise tag. But there's a lot of talent out there, and there's even a lot of some smaller names out there that you could have at, you know, a better price. And when I think about that, I think of guys like Damon Snacks Harrison. I think of guys like Mike Daniels. They both play for Detroit. Both are unrestricted free agents. Or they could go after, you know, one of the top guys like a DJ Reader, who's one of the top nose tackles in the NFL. And I mean, I love what I've seen from him in Houston. It's going to take a big deal. But after taking a defensive tackle last year in the first round, I'm not saying they shouldn't address it in the draft, but I think there are some names out there that could come in and help right away.
Yeah, no question about it, man. I really like the DJ Reader pick. Another guy that I would be interested in them bringing him at the nose tackle position would be Javon Hargrave from the Steelers, 27 years old, a monster in the middle, a guy that can stuff the run and also provide a little bit of pass rush for you. And still, I think, you know, even with their efforts of trying to address the position in free agency the last couple of years and in the draft the last couple of years, they still have not been able to find that true guy that they can plug in the middle that can move guys against their will and really, you know, stuff holes and really just harass running backs. That player is not on the Chargers roster even now. So if they brought in one of those guys, you know, I think that would be a huge win.
Yeah, and Javon Hargrave is a good guy because he plays that true one technique that what Brandon Meebane fills basically right now. So if I was Tom Telesco, I'd be getting rid of Brandon Meebane and strongly considering moving on from Denzel Perryman as well with their contracts right now. I mean, they're some of the highest paid guys on the team right now, and I don't think the production matches that. So I would absolutely be fine with targeting some of those guys, and specifically those guys that are playing nose tackle, some guys that even if they're not creating a ton of pass rush, can get a little bit of push in the pocket, but most importantly, be stout and anchor the middle of that defensive line. So the next thing I want to talk about is linebackers, because it's not a particularly loaded linebacker draft class, and there are some notable names on the market, but it's really kind of a light class in the draft and also a light class in free agency. But David, I do want the Chargers to bring in some sort of linebacker, at least bring in somebody for competition. If you're not going to get one of the top end starters, I think linebacker is a position that could be addressed in free agency, and the Chargers definitely could use some players at the position.
They brought in Thomas Davis and they tried to do their best to address the linebacker position, but after a year, it didn't seem like those moves really paid off. We thought, oh, you know, they did a great job and they addressed those problems last year, but that definitely was not the case. You know, obviously hindsight's 2020, but yeah, there's a couple of guys out there that, you know, could come in and step in and make an impact right away. One guy that's always stood out to me is the Spring Valley product, the 26-year-old Corey Littleton from the Rams. The guy is very, very athletic. He's got good speed, has been able to impact the game, you know, with a bunch of tackles. He's got a couple interceptions, got sacks, a guy that can move all over the field. I think it would be great to pair Corey Littleton with Drew Tranquil in the middle of that defense. I think that would increase the team speed and make an impact day one.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the guys, if you're saying, hey, cost isn't a thing, because he's definitely going to be a hot commodity because of the light class that is out there right now. I think he's a guy that's a three-down linebacker that would absolutely improve the position, even with the flaws that he has. Another guy that's kind of a below-the-radar guy is Kevin Pierre-Louis from the Bears, who's a former fourth-round pick from the Seahawks, has always basically been a backup linebacker, but at the end of last season, he actually showed some things with the Bears. In his 118 coverage snaps last year, he had a 91.0 coverage grade. Obviously, that's a very small sample size, but if you're talking about bringing in a cheap option to potentially give some run to Thomas Davis and some of those other guys at the position, I would love that. Drew Tranquil is really the one guy that you can really count on right now. Kazir White, with the knee injuries and everything else, is more of a question mark. So there's a lot of question marks at the position, and there's many more positions that the Chargers need to address. We didn't even get into cornerback or offensive line in this segment, but the best news is we're going to keep talking about that as free agency keeps getting closer, and we have an entire segment dedicated to offensive tackles. So we're going to look at the best offensive tackles in this free agency class coming up right after this. All right, David. Well, the one thing that we saw last week was the Chargers making a monumental trade, especially by their standards, bringing in Trey Turner, the 5 consecutive Pro Bowl right guard from the Carolina Panthers, and sending out their left tackle, Russell Okung, who was going to be a huge cap hit in 2020 and also had questioned the direction of the organization. So I think we all agreed with the move, and I think the Chargers now have a huge spotlight at the tackle position, because right now the 3 tackles with playing experience right now on your roster are Trent Scott, Sam Tevy, and Trey Pipkins. Free agency is the first place where we're going to know if the Chargers are going to address it. With the money they've spent on Trey Turner, it's hard to assess how much money they're going to be willing to spend if they're going to go after a top-of-the-line starter. But you have no left tackle right now, and you don't feel comfortable with Trey Pipkins at left tackle. So, David, they're going to have to at least try to come away from this free agency class with a tackle, because you can't roll into the draft needing 2 offensive tackles.
No, you absolutely cannot. And I mean, yeah, a lot of people have said, hey, Trey Pipkins showed some good upside and, you know, showed some promise last year, but he still has a lot to work on. He's still very raw. I mean, he has good size and good physical tools, but I would feel awful if the Chargers felt comfortable enough to send him out there to start him at left tackle day one. I think that would be a massive mistake. So, fortunately, there's a couple of guys, you know, depending on, you know, your philosophy on how you want to attack this, that you can bring in that would definitely be able to help you at left tackle. One of the guys that, you know, stands out immediately for me is, you know, the former Colts left tackle, Anthony Costanzo. Now, I know Anthony Costanzo is going to cost an exorbitant amount of money, more than likely, but that's for a good reason. I mean, he's played 92% of his available games since he came into the league. He's been the model of consistency. He's 32 years old. He's been extremely productive still. I think if the Chargers were able to pry him away from the Colts, who rumors out there have, you know, said that they are trying to get a deal done with him, which, you know, I'm not surprised about, obviously. Whenever you get a good left tackle, you don't really let those guys go. But if they can't come to an agreement and the Chargers can come in and swoop in and sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal, I would absolutely be ecstatic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy that you plug and play and you have your left tackle for the next few seasons. And we haven't really gotten anything out there yet that's saying that they're going to franchise tag him. So, I mean, it is still a possibility they could bring someone in like this. He is 32, so it kind of depends on what your plan is going forward. Are you trying to win now or are you rebuilding? And I think it's probably somewhere in between. But Tom Telesco has been making some win now moves. So I think Anthony Costanzo, even with, I mean, him, you know, going down a little bit because of his age, he has that availability that you're always talking about. And per Pro Football Focus, he finished 7th out of 101 qualifying tackles last season. So
Chargers will take that.
He's still absolutely going to improve what you have going on. I mean, he's a much better player than Trey Pipkins, I think we'd all feel confident in saying. But are you going to have enough money to sign the best left tackle out there on the market? That's probably something that would be a little bit hard to grasp. And I mean, if we're thinking about what Tom Telesco normally does, it's signed the bargain free agents. And there's not a lot of value at the tackle position. I mean, you can either play in the NFL or you can't. So there's not a lot of guys out there that aren't going to get you killed. But if you wanted to take a flyer on someone that might cost a little bit less because of his age, you'd be looking at guys like Jason Peters or Andrew Whitworth. And both of those guys, David, would be upgrades. Andrew Whitworth obviously had a down season last year, and with his age that he's at right now, it's hard to really blame him for that. But I do think there is still potential for the Chargers to go and find a stopgap at left tackle, try to go with one of these older guys and address the left tackle position either in the future, or let Trey Pipkins or whoever they draft try to turn into the future left tackle. But if they want something short term, there are definitely some agey veterans out there that could be had.
Well, yeah, and the thing is about Andrew Whitworth and, you know, like a guy like Jason Peters, both at 38 years old, somehow these guys are still extremely productive. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, Andrew Whitworth had a slight step back last year, but still, I mean, he's still a very competent tackle. And then Jason Peters, I mean, it's incredible what he's continuing to be able to do at his age. I mean, I feel honestly, if your school of thought is, hey, let's sign one of these guys and let's let Trey Pipkins learn under a tackle who's been doing it in the NFL for a very, very long time, I think that would be invaluable to Trey Pipkins' growth, and hopefully that will help turn him into a more competent player, so when the Chargers do want to actually hand over the reins to Trey Pipkins, he is more well-equipped to go out there and have success when that time comes.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have been talking about Jason Peters. I mean, is a big injury concern, and obviously anyone at that age is an injury concern. But 3 out of his last 4 seasons, he's played at least 13 games. He did only play in 7 games in 2017, but I mean, out of his career, I mean, that seems like the outlier. So 6 out of the last 7 years, he's played at least 13 games. So I don't think it's as big of an injury concern as many people think, but it's the Chargers. So, I mean, you have to expect the worst. They could do much worse as far as bringing in cheaper options for a short-term basis. But you need to figure out the left tackle position. But the right tackle position is the one that's actually more loaded in this class, because you have 2 guys that can come in and help right away and actually still seem to be in their prime. And one of those guys is Jack Conklin, the offensive tackle from the Titans, who the Titans might have a tough time re-signing if they try to re-sign Derrick Henry to a big deal and Ryan Tannehill. We still don't know. There's been rumors about a franchise tag with Jack Conklin. Obviously, he is one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. You do that deal if you have the cap space to do it, and you forget about the right tackle position altogether. But the other one is Brian Bulaga, because James Campen was his former offensive line coach with the Packers. He's still playing at a high level at the age of 31. And say you give him a 4-year deal, you get him and at least until the age 34, you could probably expect pretty good production. And the 4th years of those deals are usually something you can get out of pretty easily. So, David, I mean, a lot of people have linked the Chargers to Brian Bulaga. I think that's an A-plus signing if they can get it done. But I think as far as right tackle options, if you're going to go top of the market and try to get out and get one of the best players, the 2 guys are Jack Conklin and Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, absolutely. And now as far as Jack Conklin is concerned, he's going to have a lot of suitors, and there's going to be a lot of money that's going to be thrown at that young man. I mean, he's 26 years old. He is coming off of a, you know, more of a resurgent year with the Titans.
He'll probably get the biggest deal out of anyone.
Right, exactly. He's going to get a lot of money. And I think, you know, the connection with James Campen and Brian Bulaga with the Packers, now the Chargers offensive line coach, I think the stars might align with this one. I think the Chargers are going to try to, I would imagine, try to go after Brian Bulaga. And if they do sign him, I mean, that would be a home run. I think, you know, you bring in a guy who's going to help on the right side, pair him with Trey Turner, and hopefully you're able to re-sign Trey Turner as well. So you have the right side of that offensive line solidified for the next 3 or 4 years. And, you know, Tom Telesco has always been able to build a ripcord in all of his deals pretty much. So, you know, you mentioned that fourth year. I'm sure that ripcord will plan for that fourth year. So if Brian Bulaga starts to regress a little bit, they can get out of that. But I love the idea of bringing Brian Bulaga in and solidifying at least one part of the offensive line for several years, which is more than I can say that they've been able to do in a very long time.
Right. I mean, Russell Okung is probably the most successful left tackle that they've had since Marcus McNeil, and that's really been the only consistent guy for them at the tackle position over the last 10 seasons, and now that guy's gone. So if you decide to go with a, you know, more low-cost free agents, there's guys like Vitae, who's been a swing tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, that's been able to fill in and play pretty well for them when Lane Johnson or Jason Peters has been out. There's Dennis Kelly from the Titans, who, you know, if they re-sign Jack Conklin, maybe you bring in some of these guys just to have a competition at the tackle spots, because at the end of the day, you need an injection of talent at the position. I would think the Chargers would be remiss if they don't come out of this free agency class with at least one starting caliber offensive tackle going into the draft, because you might be able to find a pick in the draft. If you go sixth overall, you could probably get a starting right tackle day one, but you're going to have to figure this stuff out before free agency, because when it comes to the draft, you just don't know who's going to be there. So you have to be able to have a plan, and that plan cannot be see which one of Trent Scott, Sam Tevy, and Trey Pipkins, I mean, two of those guys starting on your offensive line is absolutely the worst possible scenario. So when we're talking about this is, I mean, what we're trying to avoid at all costs. But there are some options out there. The Chargers could absolutely address their offensive line. Are they going to have the cap numbers that some people think they are and go on spending sprees? Probably not, but there are some dollars there that can be shaken free as well if they decide to get rid of some veteran contracts. But there's going to be many more free agent segments coming up in the shows to come. But tomorrow we are going to have Eric Williams from ESPN on, so we're excited to talk to him about that with all of the news with Austin Eckler and Trey Turner and quarterbacks and all of that stuff. So make sure you come back tomorrow. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, if you want to get your voice on the show, the number is 323-524-7924 for the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.